Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back! Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down. Sunday, bloody Sunday, live from the desert. Let's do this thing. The Phoenix is rising. Literally and figuratively, we kick it from Phoenix, Arizona, as Mexico destroying the United States right now. The U.S. were big-time favorites in this baseball game. And, man, this tournament has been lit, and it's also been pretty unpredictable as well. We saw Venezuela beat the Dominican Republic. Now the USA struggling with Mexico 7-1 right now in the fifth inning. All right, and that stadium is absolutely lit. They're celebrating, partying. They got the drums going. Everything's, all it's missing is like a mariachi band right now. Canada is going to get an upset. United States team, though, tomorrow night will be at the game. You know, if we went to this game, we wouldn't be able to do the show tonight. And, of course, the brackets are set, so we're going to break that down. All right, so we're kicking it here. We're not at the sports book, for people wondering. Shout out to our boy T-Bone. Asked, some people were asking online if I was at doing the show at the sports book again. No, we are just at the hotel right now. We're at the hotel. We're going to be at the game tomorrow night, and then we'll be back Tuesday. Everything will be back to normal. Tuesday, Sports Rage. The tournament will be starting. March Madness, we'll be breaking it down. Ian Cameron, A.K. Babano, joins us tonight. We'll take a look at the bracket. We'll take a look at the point spreads. We got Jason B. Takafin stepping up, and then we got Mo Khan. A lot of stuff has gone on. So we got the brackets are set. The World Baseball Classic is going on here. And, of course, the Chicago Bears pulled the trigger. They traded the number one pick. Carolina Panthers now own the top pick in a National Football League draft. What I find interesting about this is C.J. Stroud. You know, we've talked about this, about like the NFL draft betting markets, and basically said, you know, you just basically take whoever's not the favorite all the time and it changes, and I almost think we need to do it again right now. Man, last year I had a lot of money on draft props, like months before. Like as soon as they were posted, I started clicking and stuff. I don't know what to do this year. I have no idea. So what is it? Is it some sort of stone cold lock that the Carolina Panthers are taking C.J. Stroud? How can it be like that? We heard, oh, Bryce Young. Now suddenly Bryce Young is plus 300. C.J. Stroud is minus 300. So we'll break this down with Mo Khan. Hey, listen, if you're the Chicago Bears, great, great move. You know, you did what you could. You got what you could get. You got two first rounders. You got two second rounders. You got DJ Moore, right? So you got four draft picks and a player, and a good football player. You need wide receiver help in the Windy City. So if you're the Chicago Bears, you know what? Great job. Now let's see what they do with the picks that they have. The Bears have a bunch of picks, but... And props to the Carolina Panthers for not waiting. Let's roll. Sunday, bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're kicking it live from Phoenix. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. It's great to be back in Phoenix. It feels like we were just here. Oh, yeah, we were just here for the Super Bowl. So we're back for the World Baseball Classic. Mexico up 7-1 right now on the U.S. Obviously, we're not in the stadium right now. We're going to be at the games tomorrow. And there'll be no Sports Rage tomorrow night on Monday night, but we'll be back on Tuesday. All right. I mean, I don't like missing shows and stuff, but we're going to beat the game. All right. We're going to beat the game. There's nothing we can do. This WBC tournament has been freaking lit so far, as we see. Very unpredictable, man. The U.S. were big-time favorites, man. They were like minus 330, minus 340 money-line favorites against Mexico. Mexico is just terrorizing the American pitching staff right now. 7-1 in the sixth inning. The Dominican Republic surprisingly lost to Venezuela, and Venezuela is just rolling right now. We talked about Venezuela being a live dog. Jason B. Takafin will step up, and then we'll talk baseball with Jason. Jason, of course, a regular guest on our show, a three-time champion, general manager, A-ball affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays. He won three championships. And one of his managers actually was John Schneider, actually, who is the Blue Jays manager now. So we'll talk, we're going to talk some American League East baseball, get some numbers, some props, but mostly WBC talk with Jason B. Takafin. Tonight, Mo Khan steps up in a TSN radio. Mo Khan was a wide receiver. Concordia University, we'll talk football, basketball, brackets are set, March Madness set to begin. And, you know, you look at the path of the one seeds, and some teams have it a lot easier than others do. And I'll tell you what, I know everybody wants Alabama to lose, and we were talking about it a lot last week, that people, you know, Alabama are like public enemy number one, they're the villain team and all that, but if you look at the path that Alabama have, it's a pretty favorable one when compared to some of the other teams they're going to have some really tough matchups pretty early in the tournament. This tournament's going to be a lot like the WBC, man, unpredictable. You look at the point spreads, and, you know, I'm old enough to remember when the opening round of the NCAA tournament, like, every game was, like, minus 36 and stuff like that. Pretty much every game is, like, minus 4.5. I'd say 4.5 is, that's, like, the most common number. 4.5. This is Sports Rage. Think your rage, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Or want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday, bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. We're kicking it live in Phoenix as Mexico is taking it to the U.S. Right now, 7-1. The atmosphere in the stadium is just over the top, as you see. See these dudes behind home plate. Normally, people behind home plate are annoying. But these guys, they got some sort of weird thing going on. Every time someone swings and misses, and they're all... So you got a crazy atmosphere. As I stated, like, you just really can't, like, it's hard to describe. If you're not watching this World Baseball Classic stuff, you're really missing out. Even if you're not, like, the biggest baseball fan, you should be checking it out. Just, like, if you're a sport fan, it's super intense. Like, I tell you what, the Venezuelans, they're the ones. Like, these guys, they look like every single pitch, swing, at bat, they're freaking fired up, man. Like Venezuela, these guys are on a mission right now. The Venezuelans are 2-0 after beating Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic. Not easy to do. So Mexico's beating the USA right now 7-1 because we all saw that this coming, right? So a lot of stuff to break down. We got March Madness. The brackets are set. We'll get into this. NFL, big trade. Carolina Panthers now on the top pick of the draft. Chicago gets the ninth pick. They swing that. Now, suddenly, C.J. Stroud is the big favorite to be the number one pick taken, which I don't really fully understand. Let's bring in Mo Khan right now, TSN Radio, and more. Mo, always a pleasure. How you doing tonight?
I am pumped for the tournament, Gabe. The West region is the most bleeped-up region. I can't figure out who's going to come out of the West, but it's amazing how this came out with the 64 teams plus playing games on Tuesday and Wednesday.
You said you're stoked for the tournament. I was thinking, what, WBC? Because that's going on too.
I know.
Yeah, we have March. I tell you what, so yeah, March Madness is the West, as you discussed here. There are so many good teams in the West. And, you know, I've got a piece of the Kansas Jayhawks, but what a difficult path when you look at the quality of teams in the West bracket with Kansas, Arkansas, Illinois, St. Mary's, VCU, UConn, TCU, Arizona State, Gonzaga, You got the Northwestern team, UCLA. It really is unbelievable, isn't it? It's almost not fair. Like when I brought it up earlier off the top, I just sort of casually threw it out there, and I said some teams have a more favorable path than others, and the West is a killer. But if I'm Alabama, I'm looking at the South here, and there's some challenges, but nothing, it's not like overly, you know, it's not like one gauntlet after another. Like, if you want to get out of the West, you're going to have to beat some big-time blue bloods along the way to get there to do it. You look at the South for Alabama, they get the winner of Maryland and West Virginia, San Diego and Charleston, the Virginia Cavaliers, Creighton, NC State, yeah. Baylor. Like, who's that real threat for Alabama? You know, Arizona. Right, but I think of when I look at this, when I look at the South, I think it's pretty favorable for Alabama.
It is. I think you're bang on the bottom of the bracket for the South region, where you look at Arizona, you look at Baylor. I think those are the two schools that can make a run for it. Virginia, if they can get by, from which I think they will, and I think they will get by San Diego State, they could pose problems for Alabama. But again, that awful situation that happened earlier this year will hang over Alabama going to the tournament. And you wonder, as this tournament gets deeper and deeper and deeper, can they continue to hold on and be focused to win the region? But I do believe that Arizona, who we spoke about last week, Arizona and Baylor, the two tough opponents for them, if they do meet up at some point in the Elite Eight or at that point to win that going towards Final Four.
I think Alabama, we discussed this the other night, we've talked a lot about this. I think Alabama have sort of like used this actually to their advantage, as crazy as it sounds, right? It's them against the world. Nobody wants us to win and all that. And they can sort of use that. I don't think people want them to win because of Nate Oates and what happened, but I think they're sort of through it, to be honest. I think they had a bad week after when every day Nate Oates kept digging a deeper hole. But I think right now they're kind of over it. I think if they lose, it won't be because of any sort of controversy that was hanging over their head.
No, and the thing is, when watching the SEC tournament this week, I mean, look, everyone's going for Vanderbilt, right, in Nashville because it's backyard for the Commodores. But just watching Alabama do what they did to Texas A&M, you know that they're a legit team. Take away the controversy, Gabe. They're a strong team if they're locked in. I think Nate Oates, of course, going through the bad PR that he had the last 6-7 weeks since the awful tragedy. I mean, yeah, you're right. They can use this as motivation. And I think out of the four number ones in this tournament, I believe that Alabama probably has the best chance to go to the Final Four over Kansas, over Houston that has the injury problems, and even over Purdue, who I think is the most vulnerable of the four number ones going to this tournament this week.
So are you expecting some chaos in this tournament then? Is that what you're predicting?
Gabe. Absolutely. Gabe, right now, I think Memphis beats Purdue, and I believe that Arkansas, if they get by Illinois, will take out Kansas in the round of 32.
Wow. Wow, bold, I like it, some bold predictions. Some bold predictions. And you know, you look at so speaking of the West, there could be some really, really cool games here, right? Like, see, Kansas, Howard, Arkansas, Illinois. Let's say it's Kansas versus Arkansas or Kansas versus Illinois. I think Kansas can survive, but how about a St. Mary's and a UConn matchup, right? Kansas potentially would play the winner of that, let's say UConn. So you'd have a Kansas UConn early. As we stated, like, guys, you look at this West, man, and you've got a lot of good teams. UCLA, Gonzaga, and those are teams that are on a collision course, right? And, you know, they played the Classic. They're on a collision course to play each other. Yeah, that Western bracket definitely is the toughest one. Definitely the toughest one.
Again, I wanted to scout VCU because I've watched St. Mary's play a couple times this year in tournament and, of course, in conference play. They're good. Don't get me wrong. I think St. Mary's will make a influence, but I would not shock me to see the Classic 5 versus 12 and VCU taking out St. Mary's in the opening day of matches that we'll have on Thursday and Friday.
A lot of people are going to want to fade the Big Ten. Right, there's a lot of talk about the Big Ten being down, a Big Ten this, not as good, and all that other type of stuff. And they do find themselves in a lot of tough sort of matchups that are sort of kind of toss-ups or pick-ems, like Iowa and Auburn's an example. I'll tell you what, that game, bro, I'm willing to bet that that game is decided like at the buzzer. You know what I'm saying? That game's going to come down like it's basically a pick 'em for a reason. There's some interesting games. That Duke Oral Roberts is an interesting one too. People love the 12-5 upsets, right? People are always looking for that.
Right. I think Duke, look, they're the hottest team coming in. I mean, look, John tried to go out to get his program going in the right direction, but since the turn of the year, I mean, they've been phenomenal, right, at both ends of the court here. And now people are picking Duke to make a deep run in this tournament. And I really believe, again, you know, when you look at that upper tier of that bracket in the East region, I think we will see a Memphis-Duke collision course at some point in this tournament here, because I think those two teams, even before what Memphis did to Houston on Sunday afternoon, I thought Memphis is really growing under Penny Hardaway this year, much more mature than in years past, given what they have to go through on the court and off the court here. But I think this Memphis Tiger team could definitely surprise a few teams going along this tournament in the early rounds.
I've been, you know, and listen, I actually have a piece of the Houston Cougars too. But I did. I bet them kind of because I knew the number was going to go down. So they're 5-1 now. I got them at +650. But they probably make it to the Final Four. Yet this Houston team, I don't know if they can win six games in a row playing the style that they do. And my whole deal with Houston, I think they can win. But, and I was, you know, we were talking about this, you know, a lot the other night. I don't understand, Mo, why they are favorites. You know what I mean? Like, if you look, so what, Houston are 5-1 right now. Then Alabama's 8-1. Kansas is 10-1. So it's not like Houston are better than Alabama are, right? It's not like Houston are better.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And Kansas are. They, and in fact, Alabama and Houston played each other, and Alabama beat them. Right? So, and Kansas are defending champions. I just don't think, like, Houston should be the favorites. I think they have a shot. Alabama 8-1 is intriguing. We got Kansas at 12-1. You can get them at 10-1 now, actually. Not a bad number for Kansas. More with Mo Khan on the other side. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, Brian, care to place a wager?
Tomorrow night on Fox's Celebrity Boxing, I've got Carol Channing beating Mike Tyson in 3 rounds.
Carol Channing. You've got Carol Channing, the actress, beating Mike Tyson, the boxer. Hell, give me $50 on Tyson.
Yeah, you're in good company. Betting Freddy took the same wager.
Bet.
Let's roll. Well, if you bet on Mexico, you're enjoying things right now. They were big-time underdogs, man. USA was, I think it was like -330 close. -330, -325, -330. And Mexico are rolling right now, 7-1. All right, 7-1 in the sixth inning. We got Mo Khan. We're rolling with Mo Khan right now. Get into some NFL and more. But Mo, as far as the tournament is concerned, what is your national champion? Have you filled out the bracket? Listen, this stuff's new. I don't like putting people on the spot, even me. Listen, I'm on the road. I'm in Phoenix. We've been traveling. We're in LA. We're in Phoenix. We're bouncing around. But I'm looking at this. I've been filling out a little bit. But do you have a prediction right now? Who's going to win the national championship, or who's going to be in your Final Four?
You know, right now, early going, I got Texas coming out of the Midwest region. I think their team has been hot. You saw how, even without Bill Self at KU, they dismantled them on Saturday night. I think Texas will come out of that region, and I can't wait for them to perhaps play A&M in round two if that ends up being the case to be. In the West region, look, I told you before, I think KU's going to get knocked out. I've been big on UCLA, Gabe. We spoke about them last week. I think UCLA gets out of the West. In the East region right now, I'm feeling Marquette, you know, maybe because of the Montreal connection with Omax Prosper, who plays on the Marquette team here. But give me Marquette to get out of that region here in the East. And then finally, for that region that we talked about in the South with Alabama, I'm not sure if Alabama gets out of it, but I think they're the best chance to do so. Give me Arizona. So we have two Pac West, we have a Big East, and we have a team from soon to beat the SEC in Texas getting to the Final Four in about a month from now.
You know, it's interesting. This Marquette team, very, very dangerous. You know, it's crazy that Shockey goes to Texas. It doesn't really work out. And now, for whatever reason, it just clicks once again with these players. I think it's just more of his type of players, more of his type of a program, you know, the identity that they have. But they're a dangerous team. And I'll tell you what, these Big East teams, they're battle-tested. The Big East is, they play some quality basketball in the Big East. They're quality teams. They're tested teams. And the thing with these Big East teams, they're used to playing in close games. That's what I like, right? A lot of these teams sort of roll everybody all the time, or they play in sort of subpar conferences. You're battle-tested coming out of the Big East, and I think Marquette do have a shot. I think UConn have a shot as well, and I think Creighton could go on a run.
Yeah, you know, when you watch that Big East tournament this week, think about it, right, Gabe? St. John's almost pulled up the upset against Marquette, right? They lost by two, could have won that game. All the games in the Big East tournament have been great, but the play itself this year in the Big East has been phenomenal. And, you know, when you look at UConn game against Iona, that won't be easy, because you think about Rick Pitino, he could end up being at St. John's or Georgetown after this tournament's done. So I think UConn does have a tough matchup against Iona, because we know about that Rick Pitino answer he has against UConn Huskies from years past. So I think that team will be tricky for the Huskies, but there's no question. I think the Big East definitely can make a big influence, a big indent in terms of what they can do in this tournament this season.
All right. So, of course, we've got we went over some of the odds as far as the tournament is concerned, but these are the Final Four to make it to the Final Four. So Kansas to make it to the Final Four is plus 320. UCLA is plus 350. Gonzaga is 4-1. UConn is plus 550. TCU is 9-1. St. Mary's are 10-1. Arkansas 20-1. Illinois 24-1. Northwestern 36-1. Boise 41-1. VCU 95-1. The Grand Canyon, the Lopes, cash their ticket. 100-1. UNC Asheville 100-1. Nevada 100-1, etc. A team that's interesting, Mo, is Gonzaga. And we were talking about like being battle-tested and stuff. And in past years, I'm not going to say they weren't battle-tested, but, you know, they cruised through their conference. They'd be massive favorites all the time. And then they'd find themselves in close games that they weren't really used to playing in. That conference this year was a lot better. It really was. And they played a lot of, you know what I mean? They did play a lot of close games. They even lost a couple of times and stuff. But I think they're the better for it. Like, everybody sort of buried Gonzaga and said, oh, they're not going to win and they're not as good as they used to be anymore. But if you look at the odds, bro, they are one of the favorites still right now. They've been playing great basketball, too, for the last, like, month and a half or so. This is a dangerous Gonzaga team.
Yeah, this is not the Gonzaga teams of years past, right? When we talk about Jalen Suggs or Chet Holmgren, right, the hoopla that he got coming in as top-end recruits. But you think about Drew Timmy, what he's done, right? He's been one of those rare three-, four-year players at one program to do the impact that he's had. I think that you think about that supporting cast that Mark Hughes built up in Gonzaga this year, lower expectations. Again, people thought St. Mary's would have won outright against the whole conference as it was in the tournament play that it was earlier this week. I just think that for Gonzaga in that 3-14 matchup, they could definitely make a run over here. And I think they could definitely get past TCU. TCU's a team that gets through in their first round matchup that they have. I think the question, as you mentioned before, do we get that rematch from 2006, UCLA versus Gonzaga? I think we all want to see that again. I'll be in a different context for what the players are involved, but I think that would be the most desirable matchup to have at that point in the tournament going through.
Now, as far as UCLA is concerned, you still like them, even with the loss of Jalen Clark? You think they're going to be able to overcome that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, yes, Arizona outclassed them and stuff, but I think UCLA, this Nick Cronin team, has really been built up tough here. You think about last year's game, right? They came up short when people thought they would have ran through the tournament but didn't do so. I think they definitely had the horsepower to go through, and I believe that they will get to the Final Four this year.
Mo Khan kicking it with us. All right, Mo, before we move on, any of the – so you have a couple of upsets here, but – Any of the small schools, who's the one are you going to identify that goes on the little mini run? There's always somebody, right? There's always somebody. Yeah. Remember with St. Peter's last year?
Right.
Who is it going to be this year?
I think Drake. I think Miami's been sort of fidgeting of late. You know, we talked with Jim Larranega, how he's built up that Hurricane team. They flew out of the gates in ACC play early on in January, but I just found that they've been lacking something of late. You think about the loss to FSU during the regular season. You think about the loss to Duke in conference play in the tournament that was in Greensboro. They've not played well, and I think Drake could be that team to watch out for that could make a mini run if they get past Miami in the first round on Thursday.
All right, let's go over to the National Football League right now. Mo Cotton throwing it down with us. So, Mo, Carolina decides to pull the trigger. They don't want to wait. And they leapfrog everybody, and in a shocking early draft trade, the Bears were open for business and let everybody know, if you want the pick, come at it, come for it, and come at us with an offer. And you know, when it's all said and done, I think both teams, have to be pretty happy. Carolina wanted the number. The question is, who is Carolina convinced that they needed to trade up to get, right? But if you are the the Chicago Bears, the fact that you got a wide receiver that and DJ Moore that's 25 years old right now that can step up and play with Justin Fields, I think that's just great. Not to mention the first round pick this year, first round pick next year, and then of course the second round picks as well. So I think both teams got what they wanted out of this. It'll be interesting to see what Carolina does. And it's crazy, Mo, because Bryce Young was the favorite all the time to be the number one pick. And I wasn't convinced of it. I said, I'm not really sure that he is going to be the number one pick, to be honest. But as soon as this deal was made, CJ Stroud became a 3-1 favorite, minus 300 to be the number one pick of the draft. So the odds makers think that CJ Stroud is the one Carolina is going to take.
Yeah, and you know, Vegas knows, right, Gabe? We always question, well, how do they know? Well, they know. And I think, for what, when we talk about the history of trades, we spoke about it last week, right? Carson Wentz, RG3, Trey Lance, those trades were executed in mid-March to the end of the month of March, right? Same thing has happened with this trade with Carolina to get the number one pick from Chicago. And I think now they probably felt that the guy that they were targeting at number nine was not going to be there, right? And even they moved up a few picks, he was not going to be there. And if it's CJ Stroud, then that so be it. He's more power to them, because I think in this draft here, we talk about Bryce Young and whether or not he can survive and withstand the rigors of a 17-game NFL schedule. CJ Stroud is one guy that I really admire. I think he's one of the more accurate passes in the NFL, in this draft class coming to the NFL this season. And I think for Frank Reich, for what he wants to build upon, is that he wants to have that young quarterback that is accurate. I think that's just the build that they have. But again, for the Panthers right now, for David Tepper, they own this franchise. He's very twitchy again. He wants to win now. And look how many quarterbacks have gone through in Carolina since Tepper bought the team 4 or 5 years ago. They've gone through a turnstile of quarterbacks, so they hope and they pray to the football gods that if it's C.J. Stroud, their number one guy, that he fits the bill, that he become the franchise quarterback that Cam Newton was 10 years ago when they took him in the first round of the first pick. So I think for Carolina, they're in great position here. But the thing now for Frank Reich, can he get this right? Because you think about his time in Indianapolis, he bombed out on all the quarterbacks that came after Andrew Luck, and that's where he lost his job in Indianapolis and could keep that moving forward.
And one thing, he was clearly hesitant to develop a quarterback. He didn't, you know what I mean? He never did, right? Let's get Phillip Rivers. Let's get Carson Wentz. Let's get, it was one vet after a Matt Ryan, one vet after another. This is a different, situation. Wow. But I tell you what, as a betting man, I wouldn't be laying minus 300 to CJ Stroud, right? I mean, just who freaking knows at this point? But if you're Houston, you're in a good spot, right? I never really thought Houston would panic, and I figured Houston would sort of let everybody else sort of move around and stuff. But if you're Houston now, maybe you are going to trade down as well. You know what I mean? There could be teams that are going to say, you know what? We like this quarterback. We know they're taking him. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out, but it could be a...
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car look in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Big run on quarterbacks to start this draft. The Lamar Jackson news on the other side. This is Sports Rage. We're kicking it with Mo Khan, Jason B. Takafin, and Ian Campbell and Jordan as well. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Head over down to the track. Put it all on a horse.
Why don't you put it in the bank?
Bank? This is found money. I want to parlay it. I want to make a big score.
Oh, you mean you want to lose it?
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people of bust, everybody else in between. Ian Cameron will join us later on. We got Jason B. Takafin. We'll talk WBC baseball and more. This tournament is so very, very entertaining. And it's just so much fun with the flags, the fans of the different countries, and the atmosphere. Although, I'll tell you what, the atmosphere is a lot better if you bet on Mexico. The stadium is, like, sold out. And there's a ton of Mexican fans who are enjoying the 7-1 beatdown right now. Like I said, man, the United States were big favorites coming into this game. We got Mo Khan kicking it with us right now. We're talking NFL football. Get back to the baseball. We're talking NFL football right now. We'll get to the Jalen Ramsey trade as well, but we were talking about the Chicago Bears and the Carolina Panthers deal. Yet, speaking of quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson is still available right now. The word collusion is being discussed often right now, and I think that it is somewhat true, to be honest. I don't think the owners in the NFL, they don't like the guaranteed stuff. Cleveland did it to Deshaun, but they're not going to follow suit. And I think they're trying to send him a message, right? That you're not going to, you're not telling us what to do. If he had an agent, I think it would help just because if I was him, actually, Mo, I think at this is the time he has to almost get an agent. You've tried it yourself. It didn't work. You clearly, you take this too personal when you negotiate with teams, and you're going to end up hating everybody when this thing's all said and done. This is the reason why, you have a representation. Ran a representative, but interesting if you ever, you've seen, so guys, if you've seen the reports here, there is a team that reportedly is considering putting an offer on the table, and it's the San Francisco 49ers. Tim Kawakami, who covers them and covers them well in The Athletic, they're reporting that the Niners are discussing this, that it's on the table, and they think, you know what? Would be pretty hard to stop if we had Lamar Jackson. And it's so crazy that I wouldn't bet against it in a sense that you look, every year Shannon has a new quarterback. And don't think, I don't know about the Trey Lance stuff, but I know Brock Purdy had that great run and stuff, but I don't think they see Brock Purdy as their future quarterback. I think they want a star type quarterback. What do you think of this Lamar and San Francisco report?
Well, I think, first off, for Lamar Jackson, let's not forget, though, right? And under that that tag that he has, if a team offers Lamar Jackson a contract, by the NFL rule, from what I read, they would have to wait 5 business days to sign an ad from Baltimore. And that means it would take that team out of the competition to sign other free agents in the meantime moving forward. So if Lamar Jackson is going to get an offer, he might have to get it probably on day 4, day 5, where teams have gone through their first initial shopping bid of what it is. And also, by not having the agent gate, it has prevented him from actually conversing with teams as we speak. So he has to wait till March 15th when a new league year opens up because he doesn't have an agent. I think for him now, if the Niners are that team, and I think he would fit Kyle Shanahan's offense to his team here, is that, look, the Niners have enough firepower to go out there and give to number one for Lamar Jackson. And I think that's going to be key for Baltimore. That do they actually want to trade Lamar Jackson to the Niners, knowing that very well that pick or those picks will end up being somewhere between 20 and 32 the next couple of years, given how well the Niners have built up here. So I think there's a lot to look at this here, but from a scheme perspective here, I think Lamar Jackson definitely fits the Niners' style of play. And also, one thing to look at here, with the firepower that he has to work with in San Fran, that's probably the best time he would ever have compared to what he's played with in Baltimore.
And it would be, yes, like if you've got Christian McCaffrey, you got Samuel, you've got George Kittle, Brandon, you've got Ayuk, and you throw Lamar Jackson in there, they would be the Super Bowl favorites. Like, they would be, right? And you've seen, listen, Shanahan's come close to winning Super Bowls and done really well with average quarterbacks and Mr. Irrelevance and older guy. You know what I mean? He's had a different, right, like, sort of mix of quarterbacks. He hasn't had that sort of 26-year-old superstar in his prime guy, right? Right. Look, when they had Kaepernick, they did go to the Super Bowl. It makes you wonder about Trey Lance. So would that be, you know what I mean? Would they want to trade Lance now? You know, this is, and they traded a lot of capital for Trey Lance, and he's never really played. So it would be interesting if they just decided to move on right now from him.
Right, but I'm trying to figure out, Gabe. Like, I know Kwame is locked in two of the Niners, but I believe you have to have a first-round pick or first-round picks to make a trade when a guy's under that exclusive tag, right? So the Niners don't have the first-round pick, right? So I'm trying to figure out how that would be worked.
So that's what I'm thinking, too. Exactly. Like, would they have to agree? They could say, all right, we'll give you the picks in this year and that year, right? But I don't know. I was thinking the same thing about the legality of their picks because they're already out of picks. They're giving these picks up. But at the same point in time, they don't even care because they figure, whatever, we're going to be drafting so late anyways. We're going to be one of the best teams in the league, so we don't even care about these picks yet. Let's be real, Mo. A lot of these teams in the NFL are getting pretty footloose with giving away first-round picks, aren't they? like this is how you bury yourself, bro. Like, it all seems like, oh, we're doing this now. Yeah, if it doesn't work out, you've dug yourself a hole that takes like 5 years to get out of, bro. Like, look at the Broncos and all those picks they gave up. Like, they don't have any, you know what I mean? And look at, like, how advantageous it is for Seattle. Now Carolina does this. So it better work out for you because you're not going to have picks for a couple of years now.
Well, that's it. So we're paying the credit card at a later date, right? Look at the Rams. They're going to be paying for the next couple of years. And with them trading Jalen Ramsey to the Dolphins, and who knows who else will be let go or traded at some point here, it's all about winning now. And like Les Snead said, the GM of the Rams, bleep those picks. And I think John Lynch realized that what he has now before their credit cards due on a Nick Bosa contract, when Fred Warner's contract kicks in, others like Brandon Ayuk, who's going to be owed a new contract going to his last year of his rookie deal, this Niners team knows that their window of success is going to come up this season and maybe next year in 2024 before it really kicks in on the salary cap for them. So I think right now, Gabe, that whole notion of draft picks and you want to develop and kind of, you know, work on a cheap deal here, that's going out the window if you are a contending team like San Fran is, or even like the Rams were a couple years ago. So I do like that theory, but if you know you're going to go all in, it better work out for you, because if it doesn't, it's really pie in your face.
All right, so as far as the Niners are concerned, Kawakami discusses this. So the 49ers cannot offer the Ravens a first-round pick in this year's draft, along with another in next year's. But this is something interesting. San Francisco, they're thinking about doing this after the draft. So if they do this after the draft, the 49ers would be able to give up their 2024 and 2025 first rounders if the Ravens wanted the offer.
Yeah, but why would Baltimore want to do that, though, right? It goes back, remember Khalil Mack, when he got traded from the Ravens to the Bears, right? Everyone questioned John Gruden for making the deal on Labor Day Saturday. Like, why did the trade then when he could have done the trade back at the draft, right? So why would the Baltimore Ravens agree to saying, okay, we'll trade for next year, not knowing what that draft number will be for the Niners if they end up being, say, 12-5 or 13-4. That ends up being a low 20s pick at that point. So if you're Baltimore, I'm not going to trade Lamar after the draft. You want to do that before the draft, knowing that you can get yourself perhaps a better draft pick, knowing where it's going to be positioned in the first round.
Yeah, unless you had, like, something set in stone with someone, right? Like, there was like, all right, we're going to do this, and, you know, let's put this in writing. And it also should be noted, San Francisco do only have $6.7 million right now of available money on their cap. Now, it doesn't mean they can't move things around and stuff, but it would, you know, this would be a challenge for them. And, it, you know, we're not saying it's a guarantee it's going to happen, but Tim's reporting that the Niners have discussed it, right? They're talking about their options and what the best thing to do is, and Lamar's name is coming up here. I don't know if they have enough money for an offer that Baltimore just wouldn't match anyways when it's all said and done, but do you think there's a collusion thing going on with Lamar? Like I said, that the owners are just sending him a message that you're not going to boss us around with this guaranteed stuff?
No, I think, you know, to use an example, it's like that child in a divorce custody battle, right? They're caught in a firestorm between the parents of who gets custody of the kid, right? I think Lamar Jackson is at the mercy of the owners because of what happened with Deshaun Watson getting that fully guaranteed deal, that they don't want to do that, right? The owners don't want to start conceding to the players by giving them fully guaranteed contracts.
Yeah.
And that means you're going to pay these quarterbacks for next, you know, gazillion dollars for the next 3-4 years. And they don't want that, right? And I think now for where Lamar Jackson is, what Baltimore Ravens did, and I don't blame them at all, Gabe, they said to Lamar, go after, find yourself a contract offer. If you get a deal that's going to be worthwhile and you bring it back to us, perhaps we match. Perhaps
well, that's kind of why they did this almost. Because like you said, Mo, they were so frustrated. And listen, I like Lamar and I defended him a lot. But at the same point in time, the Ravens have offered him a lot of money along the way here. Right? I mean, they offered $133 million guaranteed. He didn't like that.
Right.
I heard it went up to like 180 or something. And they said, all right, 180 guaranteed. You're getting $180 million up front, bro. Right? Like, and like you said, if you really want to get into it, he does get hurt. It's been 2 years in a row. So
33% he's missed of time the last 2 years.
So at some point, I can understand their frustration and then saying, okay, if you don't like any of our offers, exactly, this non-exclusive thing, that's what I heard, that they liked it, that it set the market for them because it took it off of them. It was like, all right, you think we're being bad. Let's see what happens out there. But now this is getting ugly, and they're going to get him back for 32. I think what will happen if he doesn't, I think, you know, they'll just get back to negotiating again and eventually work something out. I think he'll have to be humbled a little bit and try to get as much as he can out of this, but you know, not the NFL teams are not doing this. I don't know why Cleveland did this for Deshaun Watson, but they're the Cleveland Browns and they're morons. And it is what it is. Like, I guess that's just, it is what it is. But I tell you what, from a football standpoint, it would be fun to see him on San Francisco.
There's no question from a scheme perspective, he fits it perfectly because that playmaking core that he has is far superior than what he had in Baltimore. Baltimore failed him in drafting proper receivers. Baltimore failed him in signing proper receivers to work with. You think about it right now, Gabe. I believe during his time in Baltimore, he's had one receiver of over 1,000 yards of that position. Mark Andrews has been his guy from the tight end position. He's never been able to produce a receiver of 1,000-plus yards since I think Hollywood Brown did it a couple years ago before he got traded to Arizona. So I think Baltimore failed him in that retrospect here. But if you want to say that, friend, you think about it right now, you think about what he has in the backfield. You think about what he has to work with Deebo Samuel and George Kittle. That would be the best weapons that he would ever have in the NFL. But again, it's going to come down to, for San Fran, can they convince Baltimore to make that trade after the draft? And for Baltimore, praying to the football gods that San Fran goes 3-14, it's going to be the top end pick. You think about next year's draft class for quarterbacks, Gabe, right? You think about the kid at USC. You think about the kid at UNC. There's some deep, talented quarterbacks that will come out for next spring's draft that are probably better than what we have in this year's draft class moving forward towards April.
You know, it's funny. Yes, I'm not going to disagree with that. That if Caleb Williams was in this year's draft, he'd probably be number one, right? That was sort of the thought. People like Drake May a lot too. But let's not forget.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane.
Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We heard the same thing last year. When they said, oh, this year's quarterback class isn't good, but next year's really it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Mo Khan kicking with us. All right, we got a couple more minutes with Mo, then Jason B. Tackett for the Jonas will talk some baseball. Mo, I wanted to get your take on the Jalen Ramsey deal. Man, the Miami Dolphins, here's another football team that's been super aggressive in the off seasons, and here's another team that are just putting like this team's trying to win. All right, the Dolphins are trying to win. With last year, they bring in Tyreek Hill. Now they pull the trigger on this deal. And they don't really give up all that much. So Jalen Ramsey gets dealt from the Rams to the Dolphins. And the Rams get a 2023 third-round pick, the 77th overall pick in the draft, and tight end Hunter Long. And we're talking about a Rams team. Remember what we just said, you know, teams, all these teams are out of draft picks, and then it catches up to them. Now they're just trying to stockpile some draft picks because they don't have any picks. What do you make of the deal? What do you think Ramsey brings to the fish?
Well, it's pressure now on Mike McDaniel and on Tua Tagovailoa to win, right? They are building up around the rookie contract to bring Jalen Ramsey to now have a lockdown corner to work over Xavier Howard. That defense under Vic Fangio could be top five in the NFL. It gels quickly enough for them in this year, Gabe. I think this Dolphin team is very intriguing to watch forward to going towards free agency, what they do with the draft. But I think they could definitely be in the race to probably close the gap with Buffalo for the AFC East division crown. And I think now with potentially Aaron Rodgers coming into the division, you'll need DBs to work with. And for Ramsey to be there, remember, he had a down year last year. I think he comes out here with a chip on his shoulder to prove that he's still one of the premier cornerbacks in the NFL. So I do like this trade for Miami, and I cannot wait to see what they do. And I believe now, Gabe, that Miami at Kansas City could very well be your opening game for week one on Thursday Night Football when they open up the year.
Yeah, you know what? If you're the Buffalo Bills, you don't have any money either. So that's the thing. Like, you didn't win over the last couple of years because you can't match this stuff. So now Aaron Rodgers coming to town and Jalen Ramsey on Miami. Mo, it's always a pleasure, my man.
Yes, sir. Have a good week, man. We'll talk soon.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. Bring it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.